This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. The headlines from an unusual source, the Maritime Executive. Iran and Venezuela defy sanctions with crude oil swap. Dateline within these last hours. Iran and Venezuela have reached an agreement to swap two grades of oil, giving Venezuela a new supply of extra light crude that it can blend with its sulfurous, extra-heavy Mary oil for export. The deal, first reported by Reuters, will see cargoes of Iranian condensate from the National Iranian Oil Company exchanged for crude shipments from Venezuela's state oil firm. Professor, what is remarkable here is not just that out in the open now, Tehran and Caracas are working together along with other capitals, but I believe both these countries are under U.S. sanction and other sanctions. So this looks like a provocation. To your understanding, can it be interrupted? Will it be interrupted? Or is this trade between villains?
It's a great point, John. And this certainly isn't anything new. It's just bigger and more formal than what we've seen before. But as you alluded to, both Iran with the end of the nuclear negotiations before and now in Venezuela, especially in the past 2 to 3 years, have been heavily sanctioned in addition to secondary sanctions of those who engage with these sanctioned Venezuelan and Iranian firms. So, you know, I'm not sure that, this sleight of hand of swapping crude was actually anticipating and somehow escaping from sanctions, but it's just something that is mutually beneficial for both parties and they can certainly do. But I would point out this deal, which is a 6-month deal between the Iranian National Oil Company, NIOC, and Venezuela's PDVSA, it's basically getting Iranian dilutant to mix with Venezuelan heavy oil so Venezuela can then export its oil. My understanding is that the deal is heavily in favor of Iran because of Venezuelan desperation. But it's interesting that there actually have already been two individual swaps already this year along the same lines. And previously, you actually had Iran helping Venezuela in various different ways. Probably the most significant was back in May 2020 when the Iranians provided gasoline to Venezuela in exchange for about $500 million in Venezuelan gold to help keep the Venezuelan oil economy functioning then. Now, In terms of what can be done, it was actually interesting under the Trump administration, you actually had a more aggressive policy to enforce these sanctions in which you had a million barrels of oil that were in Iranian tankers actually seized, and the transfer was actually, it was basically confiscated. You also had the blacklisting of five Iranian tanker captains. And it's interesting that you really haven't seen those types of aggressive actions going after the sanctions violators under the current administration. And I'm not clear entirely why, but again, unless one, you know, physically interdicts ships or creatively goes after the tankers that carry them, there are a limited number of options of how you can actually stop this traffic.
We have a report from the Washington Post that the two presidents, Maduro, who does not enjoy the recognition of the U.S. and our allies, and Guaido, the former leader of the legislature, who does enjoy the attention of the U.S. and allies as president, are now negotiating in some fashion. Is this leading to a resolution of the collapsed economy? Because we know this is an immigrant crisis. People are fleeing Venezuela.
It's a tragedy, John, but the ongoing talks in Mexico are not leading to the resolution of anything, at least nothing that the Venezuelan people needs. For left of center, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, the president of Mexico, it is a chance to showcase that Mexico once again is a regional host and influential actor. Mexico also having just hosted the CELAC conference. At the same time, for Maduro, it's an opportunity to try to score international points, gain recognition, and try to free Venezuela of some international sanctions by appearing to offer certain things. By Juan Guaido, who, despite his admiral action playing a very weak hand, understands that with essentially the elimination of the congressional opposition change in politics in the United States, that the sense that the time is against his opposition, it's an attempt to gain something and show his, you know, continuing, you know, political relevance. But at the end of the day, very little has actually been ceded, and there's very little indication that there is real progress in any area, nor real sincerity, neither on the, you know, Maduro has no incentives and less reason to give up his position of power and expose him and his leadership to potential criminal prosecution by negotiating his own power transition. There's no reason for him to do that. And frankly, Guaido has very little to really offer in return other than the lifting of U.S. sanctions, which do not seem to be strongly on the table at this point. So it's difficult to see where these negotiations are going in terms of the very real needs of the Venezuelan people.
The Venezuelans are fleeing Venezuela. I know that part of the story at the border with the U.S. and Mexico are Venezuelan immigrants seeking not to move to the U.S., but to earn money in the U.S. and send back home. The U.S. knows this. Is there, to your knowledge, well, we'll take this up when we come back, because right now the focus on the Haitians at the border do not tell the story of the collapse throughout the Latin American region, who have been absorbing Haitians from that difficulty, but are now absorbing Venezuelans from that difficulty. Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.